friends. So, how was your week?
It was pretty good.
Yeah?
Party on Garth.
Party on Wayne. So, I do have to mention something.
What up, dog?
Okay. So, I listened to our zombie extravaganza that we had last week, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I said actually about 3,790 times.
Actually, it was probably more than that.
It was actually. So,
it's okay, though.
I know, but when I listened to it, it made me cringe. Because I go back and listen to all of them, like, a day after, just to see how it sounds. And I cringed so bad. It was like I get stuck on one word, and I'm like, let me say this as many times as I possibly can. So, we're going to try not to say actually tonight.
Actually.
I'm trying to think if anything fun happened to me this week. I'm on vacation.
Say what?
What? Seven days. Ooh. But no, I don't think anything we've had. I do know that I have checked the listens and stuff that we've had, and we are growing.
For reals?
For reals. I'm not even playing, dog.
Yo, that's tight.
We're so old.
I know, right? I was just looking at some stuff. And like, okay, this literally was like a uniform for people in my high school. I found this the other day. I know you guys can't see this, but the meme is like, no one knows why, but at some point in the 90s, every kid owned this jacket. Guys, it's literally the teal and purple Charlotte Hornets jacket. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. Everybody had it.
It was the starter puff jacket.
Right, and it was like literally the uniform for most guys in my high school.
I had one.
And just looking at
wow. I was in middle school, though.
Looking at that stuff just reminds me of how old I am.
But you know what? And I think I told you this. Those things were really cool when we were in school, right? But they had to be big on you. My parents got mine, and it was like a size too small. So when I put it on, I was like, I'm not going to wear this shit. And of course, my mom's like, oh, yes, you are. And she made me wear that thing like every day. And I was so embarrassed because it looked so stupid. And I wore it. She was like, that thing was expensive. You are definitely going to wear it.
That's funny.
Like, I'd get to school and take it off real quick and put it in my locker. Because I was so embarrassed of it.
That's funny.
It's awful. Well, you know what we haven't done in a long time?
What's that?
We haven't played a game in a long time. Well, a month to be exact. It's like our monthly thing. It's like a period.
You're like a period.
So, yes, guys, tonight is our monthly game.
Yes. You know, I still wish our minion was in here.
Yeah, we were going to do a special guest and let our minion say hello, but then she started acting crazy.
She got embarrassed. She's like, this gives me anxiety.
And she wouldn't stop laughing. It was like she got nervous, and she was like, and I was like, get out.
Let's sign her up for public speaking just to see how she acts.
I loved public speaking. That was my jam.
Like, actually.
I didn't say actually. I did not. I don't think I did. But I did like it. I was there for it. Anytime they needed somebody to make a speech, my hand was up. I was like, yes, all eyes on me.
Wow.
So, yes, we're going to play a game tonight.
What kind of game?
Well, I'm glad you asked. We are going to play the 11 mile game.
Did you see what just happened?
Yes.
I hope when y'all hear that, it's not like crazy.
What if it's a ghost in the background?
It's spiked up.
I know, like big time. I wonder if you'll hear like a scream or something in the background. That's crazy. Because, y'all, our house is very haunted. And, or I say it's haunted, but you believe it's haunted now, too. You've had some little experiences. Troy told me he woke up one night and he thought I was talking to him. And I was dead ass asleep. And what's funny is he told me.
Stuff I see walking across the.
Yeah, we see things like our bedroom. We leave the door open and you can see the stairs. And I always see stuff come down the stairs. Like I thought I saw our little minion come down the stairs and like make a turn. And I got up to see what she was doing. And she was upstairs in her room. But yeah, he thought that I was talking to him. And he rolled over and I was asleep. And he told me about it. He was shook from it. And then I woke up one night, and I promise you guys, it was like 3 a.m, which is not a good time, but it happened. And when I woke up, I couldn't get back to sleep, and I was just kind of laying there, and I hear a little girl start giggling. And I was like, holy fuck, that scared. Kids are freaking.
Language.
I'm sorry. Kids are freaking scary, though. They are so, especially ghost children.
Yeah, in the movies and stuff, that's what gets me the most, is little kids and stuff that, like, walks upside down.
The
and little, mirrors.
The oh, God, mirrors. We almost did a game about a mirror. But, yeah, but it's, you know, it's we've had it so long that it's kind of gotten to the point. Troy and I were walking to the kitchen, and you have to go through our living room, and we've got hardwood floors. And there was a Coke sitting in the hardwood floor, just sitting there, a can Coke, and it flips over on its own, and it's across the room. Nobody's in there. And so it's kind of gotten to the point where we know it's like a playful little ghost or whatever, kind of like Casper. And if you get onto it, it stops. So it flipped the Coke over. And Coke
definitely got, not one of our kids.
No, not one of our kids. But Coke got on the floor, and I was like, look, you know, you can stay in our house, but you are not going to make a mess. And it did not pick the Coke can up. That's not where I'm going with this. But it has not spilt any more Cokes either. So there's that. I think we've got an understanding. But they make noises, and sometimes we see them. But they don't bother us. And I'll keep it that way. I can do that. But Troy will be at home or something by himself, and he'll text me, and he's like, you have no idea what is going on here. I can't even explain it. And it's crazy for him to say that, because he does not believe in that stuff at all.
Nope.
No, not at all. But I think we say that in every episode, too.
Yeah, I think so.
So.
And also, you know what else we say in every episode?
Actually.
No.
Damn it. What?
Carmen Bra.
Fuck Carl.
No, language. Yes.
That's my catchphrase. That's my catchphrase.
Well, you need to change it, because we're not a potty mouth podcast.
Yes, we are.
You and your toilet humor.
That's my, y'all.
No, yes. We don't have enough time to go.
Yes,
that.
Y'all. Yes. Peacemaker. If y'all have not watched Peacemaker, it is so good. It's like Deadpool. It's the whole toilet humor. And I think toilet humor is hilarious.
I don't.
It cracks me up. He gets mad at me because I think it is so funny, and I'll, you know, get into it. And he's like, this is not funny. And like, he does not like it at all. So, okay, we're going to run out of time, and this may be a two-parter.
No.
Yeah, huh?
Negative.
Positive.
Let's dive on in. See, you got to say
it. Stop!
Every time I say something.
Every time I say something. Okay. We are going to go over the rules, as we usually do.
What's this game called?
The 11-mile game. I already told you that.
Oh, you tricked me. You told me we were going to join the Mile High Club.
Wow. Okay. I thought you were going to make an 8-mile joke, but you just jumped over that and took it way further. Okay, so the supplies, rules, and warnings for the 11-mile game. Supplies. Honestly, all you really need is yourself, a car, a nice set of back roads to play this game. Like the heroes from mythology, you are required to take this quest alone. However, make sure you're the only one in the car. Wait. Yeah. Make sure you're the only one in the car when this journey begins. Because you know what? Once it starts, you're not going to be the only one in the car. Rules. So you want to play this game late at night when there isn't a lot of traffic. To begin your quest, head out onto a stretch of back roads. And guys, if you complete this, you get a wish. So there's a reward at the end, but you have to complete all of this scary bullshit before you get your reward. Make sure your car radio and cell phone are turned off. You don't want any distractions. To drive the 11-mile road, you must first find it. And to do so, you must begin by driving with the thing you most desire for most in your mind. So you're going to focus on what you want your wish to be, what you want the most to happen, and that's what you're going to concentrate on. Because this road doesn't actually exist. Oh, I said actually. There's one. This road doesn't exist in the real world, so it won't have a road sign and it won't be on your GPS. They say that you'll know you found the road by a feeling or a change in the atmosphere around you. One user says that there will also be visible signs. For example, if you're in search of wealth, you may spot shimmers on empty branches of trees as if they resembled the shine of gold or diamonds. If you seek love, you may begin to see rose petals slowly dance in the light breeze blowing in the road's direction. Take a deep breath, guys, still those nerves, and make the turn onto the road. You're going to be surrounded by trees on this road, and whether you were before or not, they say that's another of the first signs that you're on the right path. So it's going to look like you're going down a long road with trees on each side. So each mile is meant to test your resolve, and the test will become more terrifying the further you travel. How badly do you want to see what your desire or wish manifested? Some say finding the road itself means you're serious, but that doesn't mean you're ready to receive it. So we're going to look at what you may experience on each mile, because each mile is going to have something more and more terrifying. Okay, guys. So mile one, you're going to begin your journey and you'll notice that the temperature is going to begin to drop in your car. This is sort of a welcoming sign that you found the right place. It's going to get colder, so be prepared to crank up the heat. If you're anything like me, I hate being cold. So you can definitely turn the heat on. Mile two, the temperature is going to continue to drop. Now is a good time to turn your heater on, as I said, if you haven't already. You're about to get into the thick of things. Get ready, guys. Mile three. If the road was paved before you, you can kiss that one goodbye. You'll now find yourself on a dirt road. You'll also begin to spot silhouettes, human-shaped shadows in the trees along the road. Ignore them. No matter how close or menacing they may appear, you have got to keep your eyes on the road. Now is not the time for distractions. But it gets worse. Because we're only to mile four. The shadows you saw will disappear, but you'll now begin to hear whispered voices. Tune them out as best as you can. Listening or trying to determine what they're saying will only draw them closer to you, and you do not want them getting any closer than they already are. Mile five. The trees around you may suddenly disappear, and you may spot a beautiful lake lit by a gorgeous full moon. Do not stop the car. Keep driving, no matter how alluring the images you see are. Stay on the road and keep driving. Mile six, you're halfway there. Unfortunately, that means the tests are going to get more difficult. The trees will return here and the stars and moon above you will disappear. Your headlights will begin to flicker as if they're going to go out. Your radio will turn itself on, and a voice will speak to you about your greatest fears, underlining the danger you're in. You won't be able to turn the radio off, so don't even try, because guys, remember, you turned the radio off before you started this. Ignore it. Keep your eyes on the road. It will begin to twist and turn more, and you don't want to have an accident. Mile seven. The voices will return, but they won't be whispering anymore. Now you'll hear distant screams coming closer by the moment. One of those voices may sound like it is right in your ear, like it's speaking to you from the back seat of your car. Do not turn around to look for it. You may not like what you see. And again, you risk driving off the road. That's scary.
Mm-hmm.
Mile 8. At the 8th mile, the road is going to become even more treacherous with deadly turns, and your distractions will double. The shadow figures you saw in the tree before are most definitely following you now, and you'll hear their voices and the scratch of their claws along the side of your car. Your headlights may go out for a few seconds. If they do, you can slow down, but don't stop driving whatever you're doing. You do not want them to catch you. Mile 9. Your vehicle is going to stall. Close your eyes tight and try to restart it. Do not open those eyes until your car restarts. You're surrounded by creatures. They will fall.
Kind of creatures?
Like demonic creatures.
Oh, hell no.
I know. They will fall back once the car starts again. But until they do, they're going to do everything they can to distract you. Ignore the sounds, the voices, etc. Your only goal here is to restart your car and continue driving. And that kind of reminds me of the elevator game when the lady gets in the elevator and tries to distract you so you'll look at her. It's kind of the same thing, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Mile 10. You're almost there. At this point, the voices will stop. You may be tempted to look in your rearview mirror to see if the creatures are still following you. I assure you that they are. Do not look in the mirror. Do not check your back seat and keep driving, guys. You've got 1 mile left. Mile 11. Your vehicle will once again lose power, but it will not stop moving. You may see a glowing red light ahead of you. You are no longer in control of your vehicle's movement, so don't even bother trying. Close your eyes. Cover them if you need to. You do not want to see what is around you at this point. Do your best to tune out all the sounds around you. The cold will be replaced by heat. This is by far the most excruciating point on your journey of the 11-mile road. Some say you're being drawn through hell itself. This should really only last about 30 seconds or so, but it will be the longest 30 seconds of your life.
Bum, bum, bum.
The dead end. Once power returns to your car, the noises will fade away and it's safe to start driving on your own again. In a short distance, you will come to a dead end. Stop the car, relax, close your eyes, and focus on what it is you desire. Why did you take this journey, and what wish did you want fulfilled? Once you've done this, you can open your eyes, at which time you'll discover you have returned to the beginning of the road.
Hey, Armenians here. Say hi, Ashley.
Say hi.
Hi.
There she Yay. Goes. So if you're getting scared, you're not now. Okay. If what you desired was material, check your trunk first. If it's smaller, it might be in your back seat. And if it's really small, it may be in your pockets.
What if my wish was for a truckload of bitches?
You're such an asshole. Oh, my God. God. Well, let me answer that. If what you desired was not a material object, drive home and pay attention to your life. In the next few days, your truckload of bitches will be waiting for you.
Hell yeah.
Okay, warnings. Aside from the warnings listed in each of the individual mile markers above here, there are a few more things to keep in mind if you do decide to play this game. Do not roll down your windows for any reason. Do not use your cell phone. It probably won't work anyway.
Is that because of the creatures?
Hmm?
The windows for the creatures?
I get. Well, probably so, since they're scratching the side of your car. I swear, if I got out of my car and it was all scratched up, by that game. I would be so mad.
Right.
Do not turn on the radio in your car. Do not get out of the car at any point until you've been returned to the beginning of the road. Do not drive over 30 miles per hour on this journey. There's too much going on and you could have an accident. So, those are the rules for the game. Okay, guys? And we've got an experience that I want to go over too. It's a pretty good one because the guy actually goes through it and his wish comes true and everything turns out good. But what he goes through is insane. So you have to want it. Let's see, y'all.
How bad do you want that truckload of bitches?
How bad do you want your bitches? Okay. I'm wondering if we should stop here and go to the next one just so I'll have enough time.
Wow.
Because it's pretty long, his experience, because he goes through each mile what he experienced. So why don't we do that, guys? Let's make this into a two-parter so I'll have more time to go over this this man's experience, because it's a really good one and it does have a happy ending. So I really want to read that to you guys.
That's what she said.
So you know what? Y'all just hang out and we're going to start another episode and we'll go over what he experienced. So we will see you in just a sec.
It's recorded.
I'm so bad at this.